Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Back by popular demand, we're happy to have with us a man who's quite famous, a man who has been a NASA astronaut. His name is William C. Gregory. And we also have with us today the local chairman of the board of directors for the Challenger Learning Center in Lockport, New York, Stephen A. Cotton. To tell you a little bit about our guests, Bill Gregory, 62 years old, is from Lockport, New York. Now we're taping him a couple thousand miles away by phone. He was a test pilot, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Air Force, and he's a retired astronaut. A little bit about his NASA career. Selected by NASA in January 1990, Gregory became an astronaut in July 91. Gregory's technical assignments included shuttle, avionics, integration laboratory, sail, astronaut office representative for landing rollout, T-38 flying safety, Kennedy Space Center astronaut support personnel, spacecraft communicator in mission control, astronaut office representative for rendezvous and proximity operations and spacecraft operation branch chief. Really a tremendous career. And Steve Cotton, the chairman of the board of the Challenger Learning Center, and that's in Orleans, Niagara, and Erie counties. He's been involved as chairman of the board for the past 3 years. He received a AB in physics and education from Hamilton College in Clinton, New York, and a MS in applied geophysics from the Henry Crum School of Mines, Columbia University in New York City. Our guest today on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Let's talk about young people learning of space travel. Why is that important?
Well, I'll start off. I think one of the most important things about space travel for the young kids is the fact that we're having this resurgence coming up here as we've had the space station up on orbit for many years, but now we're approaching where we're going to start flying the Orion and launched by the SLS, and we're going to start moving towards heading back to the moon after half a century.
Very good. Steve, from your perspective, why is it important for young people to learn to space travel?
Well, I think it's just an example of the kind of initiative that this country can display when it's motivated. And also, it gives when you think about space travel, obviously you think of people like Bill going up in space, and but that's just one person or a small number of people. But behind those individuals who are fortunate enough to get into space, there are thousands of other people supporting them in various professions. And so I think it's important for young people to recognize that, it's not just the people that get the publicity and that are doing things. Those people that get the highest profile, and very worthy of that, by the way, but are supported by hundreds, if not thousands, of other people. And those can be very important careers and very lucrative and very rewarding careers for young people. And they should be aware of that.
Yeah, I think the word rewarding was the one that I was waiting to hear from you, because I can promise you everybody that I know that worked on those teams, as far as they were concerned, a bit of them went on every single one of those missions. And without a doubt, they understand that they're hugely important. And right down to, I met people who worked on the sheet metal of the air conditioning systems at the Kennedy Space Center, and they felt like they were part of the team. Even though they were repairing air conditioning, they were repairing air conditioning in the buildings where mission control was, the launch control center, and they felt like they were contributing just as much as everybody.
Very good. If somebody would like to give a check, Steve, for the Challenging Learning Center, if it's $1 or $1,000 for young people to learn about space exploration, where should they send a check?
They could contribute to the Challenger Learning Center of Orleans, Niagara, and Erie Counties, or ONE. And we are at 160 Washburn Street in Lockport, New York. And the zip code there is 14094.
Good. We encourage all our listeners to give and to give generously. Let's talk about the overall importance of space exploration. How it helps our knowledge of technology and the education that's involved in this, how it improves our society. Let's talk about the importance of space exploration. Bill?
Well, you know, it's funny, as everyone thinks of Kang and Velcro coming out of the space program, and neither of them came out of the space program. But what has come out of the space program is all of the technology and the microprocessors. So when you look at your digital watch, when you pick up your iPhone, what I can promise you is Steve Jobs did not come up with that technology. Steve Jobs took the technology that came out of the space program and the black budgets of the military, where this miniaturization and optimization came from, and he took that technology and adapted it for personal use. But your laptop, your watch, your calculators, your iPod, your iPhones, all of that stuff is possible because of the space program. And the real reason is it cost on the space shuttle $10,000 per pound to get something into orbit. So it had to be small, compact, and it had to be reliable.
Very good.
So, I bet the other advantage, I think, is the space program is we think about manned space missions, but the unmanned missions that we've sent to explore the other planets in the solar system, I think that's important to help us understand where we came from and the evolution of our solar system. It contributes to a lot of understanding of the way things work, the different phenomena that are in space, and I think it builds an understanding and an appreciation for our role here, our limited role here in the universe. But just the knowledge that we gain by going out and looking beyond our own planet, I think, is very important for us as a species, just to understand how things have evolved over time.
Very good. We're learning yes, go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, absolutely. It wasn't that long ago we didn't know what a black hole was. Now we actually have a photograph of one. The things that have evolved, it's just amazing to me in the last 20 years.
We're learning a great deal from a famous NASA astronaut, Bill Gregory. And also we have with us in Western New York here in the studio, the chairman of the board of the Challenger Learning Center, Stephen Cotton. If you're listening in Buffalo, Toronto, or Washington, D.C. with a 50,000 watts clear channel power blanketing 17 states and much of Canada, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. I'd like to thank those who have called regarding our recent guest, Andy Golombiowski with the Polish-American Congress, Sheriff Tim Howard, and Erie County Clerk Mickey Kearns. Coming up, Representative Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin and Harold Besnos, who's leading the fight against anti-Semitism from Michigan. We have a plug here. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Eagle has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Eagle. The Ampol Eagle is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454. They have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. A little bit more information about Bill Gregory, NASA astronaut. He flew on STS-67 in 1995 and has logged 400 hours in space. Gregory retired from the Air Force and left NASA in 99. He currently serves as Vice President of Business Development for Qualtech, Inc. in Tempe, Arizona. A little more information about Steve Cotton. Following 5 years of teaching physics at both high school and college levels, he enjoyed a 22-year career with Console Energy, advancing in Console's R&D department from geophysicist to director of the mining section, and finally serving as maintenance systems manager for Console's IT department. All on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Let's talk about if we should go to the moon again. This was an amazing accomplishment, and for decades now we haven't done it. So should we again go to the moon? Bill Gregory.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. For two reasons. We only saw a very small portion of it, didn't see the poles, didn't see the backside of the moon. But from an operator, from an astronaut standpoint, it's essential. We have to go to the moon to test out the new equipment. When we travel to Mars, there is a 20-minute time of travel for communications. So in other words, you can't depend on mission control, because you can't say, Houston, we've got a problem, and then wait 40 minutes for the reply back. Go ahead. So the equipment that we use has got to be totally self-reliant. The astronauts are on their own. You need vehicle health management, where the computers on board diagnose the problems, unlike the space shuttle that I flew and the space station, where you're in constant communication. And anytime something happened, someone on the ground was instantly analyze it. And through the flight director and through the CAPCOM, you would instantly have communication back and forth. Those days are over when we're talking about going to Mars.
Steve?
Well, another aspect of that, and I think Bill alluded to that earlier, was that the cost of getting materials into space from the surface of the Earth is very expensive and could be prohibitive. And so as we go to the moon, we need to look for, there's been a lot of discussion about finding resources that could be mined or excavated and possibly processed and used to support missions that go beyond the moon. And as Bill's alluded to, we need to learn about how to do that as we go forward into space. So whether we learn how to mine under a lower gravity regime on the moon to get, say, just even something as simple as water that could then be used to support life and possibly as a fuel, if you can break it to get the hydrogen out of it. And then as you go forward, that same sort of technology can be used if we went and when we go to Mars to support life and colonization or development of a space station, a long, persistent presence on Mars. And that's vital, too. So the going to the moon again is a necessary step for our further exploration of space, which I think is going to be valuable for everyone in the long run.
Let's talk about teaching young people about space travel, and that's what the Challenger Learning Centers throughout the United States try to do with flight simulators and educational programs Let's talk about what these young people can learn about outer space. Bill?
The Challenger Space Centers are just outstanding because it's a hand-on experience. You're not just hearing about things, you're actually doing. You learn about teamwork, you learn about process. There are displays where you can see artifacts from space. I know in Lockport, some of my equipment is on display. One of my flight suits is on display. And I think it's just a total unique experience for kids. And it gets them away from something electronic where they're just watching a picture or a video, and instead they gain hands-on experience, and I think they've all found it's rewarding. And it's also used for team building for adults as well. It's not just a great experience for kids. It's a great experience for adults as well.
Steve? So,
I agree. The Challenger Learning Centers, and there are 44 of them nationwide, all have this common basis of using space exploration as a theme for enrichment activities that can benefit not only the students in the community, but the others as well, as Bill said, adults. And the message that we try to convey is that of opportunity. Opportunity through career paths, the application of all the sciences and mathematics and engineering. And as people, whether students, adults, community groups of all types, come into a Challenger Learning Center and have this hands-on immersive experience, they touch and employ a lot of different skills and disciplines. And that's the exposure, I think, that means a lot to children, especially, to see how these things can be applied and used to accomplish things. So that's that. And as Bill mentioned, teamwork, there's also communication, problem solving involved with executing the simulated space mission. So it's really not just STEM education, but it's really a universal demonstration of what can be done and should be done as we go forward as a society.
Let's talk about what we have learned in the United States from those who've traveled to the moon. If you could tell us other specific examples of the learning curve that was developed from travel to the moon. Bill?
Well, of course, it was 50 years ago, and amazingly, they went with one inertial unit on the Apollo spacecraft. We had three on board the space shuttle. And, you know, it was the effort that made the difference. It was the commitment of the United States of America to push for that goal. And the goal was the forcing function that forced the United States to do the work and come up with the technology to make it all happen. And certainly there were setbacks. And you know, that's a learning experience too, the Apollo 1 fire. Sometimes you have to have small disasters to make you start realizing that you need to take a totally different approach. And I really think that the enthusiasm, and it didn't just foster itself or fester itself in the United States of America. This is something that had the entire world's attention. And you'll notice that the words on the plaque that Neil and Buzz left on the moon, nowhere on the plaque does it say the United States. It says we came from Earth in peace. We as a one world. And I think this is something that, you know, the United States needs to lead the way. We always have. I think that it's a very worthy expenditure. And I know that most people are confused, and they think, or they've got a misconception, and they think a lot of money is spent on the space program. And during the first few years of Apollo, yeah, it was about 6% of the budget. But right now, it's like 0.5, 0.6. So 0.5% of the budget. And so this is something that's extremely worthy. Mankind will benefit. as it did 50 years ago.
Steve, talk about, please, what we learned from space travel, and again, where people could send checks to the Challenger Learning Center.
Well, I, thinking back last month on the 50th anniversary, I can remember very distinctly where I was when Neil Armstrong first stepped on the moon. I was in a position where I could watch him on television and look up in the sky and see the almost full moon, and it just marveled the fact that someone was up there 225,000 miles away doing, you know, performing that tremendous feat for us, for mankind, as he said. The things that we need to learn, I think, are the value of cooperation and teamwork and dedication, and as Bill mentioned, not in this word, but he used perseverance. If you have a goal, it's a worthy goal, you can stay with it and work to that end. And if it's a worthy goal, you can build the teams and get the support for that. And so I think that's probably the major lesson that we've learned from going to the moon, is what you can do when people and can pull together and work to a common goal. And it's a very rewarding situation. In Lockport, there's been a very dedicated group of people that have worked for over 10 years to get a Challenger Learning Center constructed to share this kind of thing with the community. So we've been able to repurpose an old industrial facility in Lockport, kind of a brownfield type of exploitation. So there's been a fair amount of capital put into this facility to repurpose and this facility right in downtown Lockport for the purpose of benefiting for the community. So if you'd like to contribute to that, again, it's the Challenger Learning Center of Orleans, Niagara, and Erie counties. That's our three county service area. We're in Lockport, New York, 160 Washburn Street. Zip code is 14094. We also have a website, which we encourage everyone to see. It's clclockport.org. Obviously, that stands for Challenger Learning Center in Lockport, Brian.
That's right. We're learning a great deal about the importance of space travel today from famous NASA astronaut Bill Gregory, and we also have the local man where we tape this program, who's in charge of the Challenger Learning Center in Lockport, New York, Steve Cotton. If you're listening in Lockport or in Michigan or northern Florida, drop us a note. We'd like to hear from you. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And we always greet cards and letters from our European and Canadian listeners, as this station has received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand. A little bit more information about Bill Gregory, NASA astronaut. He served as the STS-67 pilot on the seven-person astronomical research mission aboard the Space Shuttle Endeavour, launching from the Kennedy Space Center in 95 and landing at Edwards Air Force Base. The crew established a new mission duration record of 16 days, 15 hours, 8 minutes, and 46 seconds, while completing 262 orbits and traveling nearly 7 million miles. Amazing. A little bit more information with Steve Cotton. While with CONSOL, Steve Cotton contributed to development and implementation of technology and methods for coal seam characterization, coal seam degasification, coal mine ground control, evaluation of the environmental effects of mining, rapid longwall entry development, and improved equipment maintenance practices. Let's talk about these Challenger Learning Centers. Why is it important to have these regional CLC or Challenger Learning Centers throughout the United States? Bill Gregory.
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons, but number one is so that everyone remembers the loss of Challenger and the effort. You know, Steve used the term perseverance. When you see a program like Apollo with the Apollo 1 fire, when you see the loss of Challenger and later with the loss of Columbia, my friends, it's a lesson in perseverance, but it's also personal perseverance. You can look at that program and you can say, well, if they could pick up the pieces and move ahead and be successful, so can I when I have a setback. And so you've got that perspective of keeping the memory alive of the crew. But in addition to that, of course, it gives the STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, it gives that impetus to motivate kids to go ahead and try harder, do more in math. A lot of kids kind of shy away from math these days. And there's also technology fields you don't have to go to college for. We're experiencing trade folks that are desperately needed in the fields of electronics like TV and stereo repair. This is a dying breed. You don't have to have a PhD in electronics to contribute to society. And I think that these Challenger centers, when you get this hands-on experience, it motivates the kids to head in that direction, to say, yeah, I can do this. I want to be part of technology.
Very good. Again, if somebody wants to write a check and send it, where they should send it for the Challenger Learning Center, Steve Cotton.
Challenger Learning Center in Lockport, and the address is 160 Washburn Street, and the zip code, that's Lockport, New York, and the zip code is 14094, Brian.
Thank you, Steve. And again, we've learned so much. Back by popular demand, NASA astronaut William G. Gregory, and we taped him by telephone because he's a few thousand miles west of Buffalo, New York, and he's a Lockport native, and we're very honored to have him again with us. We encourage all of our listeners to give and give generously to the Challenger Learning Center in Lockport, New York, where William G. Gregory and Steve Cotton hail from. Also, special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the last 15 years. Thank you for teaching us so much about space travel, William G. Gregory and Stephen A. Cotton. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.